Hi, this is the Dark Tangent. The speech you're about to listen to was originally recorded at DEF CON 5 at the Aladdin Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas, Nevada, 1997. Now all rights are reserved except permission for educational non-profit use. If you have any questions about DEF CON or the copyright status, contact me at dtangent@defcon.org or the website at www.defcon.org. Now kick back and relax.
Thanks, yay me. Can everybody hear me? Oh, good. What? Yeah. Oh, what? Okay. Let me talk about stuff. This presentation has three different titles, and it really does cover three separate topics. The first title is Corporate Espionage, and honestly, that's the title of my book. Jeff thought this would be something good for everybody to get a little look at, so I decided to go ahead, and that was one of my initial topics. Then it also came up, it's like, well, let's teach the hackers, because a lot of hackers think they're out there doing lots of harmless things, they're just going out learning and stuff like that. But in your travels, you come across many people, whether you know it or not, who are criminals, pretty much conning you into giving them information. And that's kind of an interesting topic in itself, so I was going to talk about that too. And during the Black Hat briefings I spoke at, a lot of controversy came up when people like Mudge, Hobbit, Root, and a bunch of other people started saying, you know, because at the Black Hat briefings there were a bunch of professionals from the industry or security professionals, and everybody was kind of putting Mudge and all those other people in the same basket with the Kruvitz people, which I think encompasses most of the hackers out there right now. So, I'm going to try to help you distinguish whether you're closer to Mudge or whether you're closer to a clueless person. And we're going to have that, because again, I think it's pretty important for you to know where you fit in. And what I'm going to have are guidelines to say, if you really prefer not to be clueless, this is kind of how you start moving in the right track. So that's pretty much what this topic incurs. Okay, for what I do for a living. Formerly, I was with the National Security Agency, where I did NSA stuff. I did cryptanalysis for a while. I did a bunch of work with other military and intelligence agencies and helped them do whatever they're supposed to do. I also was an intern there for a while, and I got a lot of cross-training and stuff, and that kind of helped me with my social engineering skills. And for the most part, what I do professionally is perform penetration tests. That's kind of where most of the fun is. They're kind of advanced vulnerability assessments. And I do I don't just do technical hacking, I also try to do a lot of social engineering, because one of my big buzz phrases is information is information. And companies don't care whether I steal the information off a computer or I steal it out of their garbage. It's still deceptive information. And if all I tell them is I hacked into every computer system you have, they say big deal. That's just the reason for us to hire our CIO, I'm sorry, to fire our CIO, who we were looking for a reason to fire anyway. Anyway, that's kind of what I do that's different. I've been called the modern-day James Bond by the Christian Science Monitor, Forbes, and USA Weekend, and that kind of, I don't know what to take from that. But anyway, part of my penetration test, I've been able to take over banks using just social engineering skills. I've been able to go into companies and steal a few $1 billion within a few hours. And again, for the most part, all this is easy. I'll talk about that on the next slide. And I also, what a lot of people in this room kind of hate me for a lot of times is, I investigate computer and information-related crime. And I should clarify this. Nobody's paying me lots of money to investigate hackers. They're paying me lots of money to, like, help shore up multi-million-dollar losses. But the problem is, when I'm investigating these multi-million-dollar losses, I always seem to run into hackers doing what the clueless hackers tend to do. You know, try to break into systems. And then the big problem with this is, while I'm there trying to, like, investigate a multi-million-dollar problem, I got to go off and, like, verify that somebody that looks clueless is really clueless and is just trying to get into a bank because they think it looks cool. And that's a major problem. Because again, you're costing people money by breaking into their systems if they do investigate it properly, like they should be doing. One thing I want to talk about now, there was a cool example. Besides the latest attack on Microsoft that happened when everybody was going after their web servers and keeping it down, somebody tried to attack another company. That other company did a little investigation, and they sent a bill to the hacker's mother for over $4,000. I kind of like that. I don't think that kid will have his computer for a while now, because, again, his mother wasn't responsible for malicious actions of her child. Next slide, please. Okay, my attitude on the whole thing is, even though, like, you know, everybody thinks it's really cool I could steal a few $1 billion in a few hours, I think it's kind of irrelevant. It's really easy to do that. Unfortunately, it's too easy to do that. And I can train any monkey to hack a computer in 2 hours. Just because you can tell me you can hack send mail 50 different ways, that doesn't mean garbage. You can hack send mail to you, you know, you can hack send mail to you drop dead, and it doesn't mean you're a hacker. It just means you have nothing better to do with your time. And again, mostly what all this stuff takes is nerve. You know, if I walk up and do social engineering, in one case I walked around the company and started saying I'm the head of information security, and everybody started giving me stuff. Well, anyway, that didn't take a lot of skill or anything. I mean, yeah, they could say, oh, yeah, my intelligence training helped me talk to people and lie to people and stuff like that. Really, all it did was take a lot of nerve to go up and sit down and interview somebody like I really was the head of information security. And again, I want to say, if you want to get a job because you're a hacker, you know, that's your only qualification, I could tell you it's much easier to train an honest person to think like a criminal than it is to take a criminal to think like an honest person. Because like I said, again, I could train a monkey to hack a computer in 2 hours to do pretty much what I do and to make the same points that I might make. Next slide, please. Here's a disclaimer. I'm not going to talk about criminal methods. One reason I can tell you I'm going to go in and say, hi, I'm the head of information security, pretty much people with tattoos and like long hair and nose rings are not exactly going to be readily perceived as the head of information security. So it's kind of okay to talk about something like that in my mind for this audience. But my major concern is that there are too many people here that actually might go out and do criminal action based upon what I'm telling people, so I really don't want to discuss those issues. And again, but the information is out there. I do make it available. If you have a clue, maybe you know how to search the internet and find some of the papers that tell you how to steal $1 billion, or you could buy my book. Again, quick plug, but it's a good book. Anyway, next slide, please. Okay, criminals and the hackers. Let me start talking. Okay, Jeff, just people can't hear me. Jeopardy music, please. Okay, let's talk about criminals and the hackers, because a lot of people don't know where hackers and criminals meet. Generally on the internet, and how I refer to the hacker community, you have a core group of people. I would estimate this core group of people is about 200. These are hackers that have clue, and much more than a clue. These are people that you all know of, sort of like Mudge, Hobbit, Root, and other people. What these people do is they take software and they find problems with it. They go ahead and they hack the hell out of it, and by hacking, I mean they test it, they try to break it and do all that sort of stuff, and they find problems with it. Then what happens is they take these problems and they talk about them. And outside of that, there's another concentric circle which says there's probably about 1,000 to 2,000 people who are intelligent enough to take the information that Mudge, Hobbit, and the other people have put out and know how to make sense of it. They know how to use it. They know how to understand it. These are people that actually learn, and maybe they try to use that information to become more of the inner circle there. And these are people, again, usually the 200 people I'm talking about, I think they hate the fact that people take their information and go out and hack systems. And for the most part, they are insulted by the general hacker community using their tools to go and hack computer systems. They think it's an unavoidable problem in order to try to get the information out there. Then you have this big circle here. And again, this bigger circle, there's about 50, possibly to 70,000 now. It keeps growing every year I talk on this. It just sounds better to the press and all that, I guess. But anyway, there's 50 to 70,000 people who I would consider to be the clueless. These are people that can't do anything if they don't have a script. I mean, they go out there, they hear about information, it's like, wow, cool. Let's see if I could get in a tax script and try to use it. And now going into this other thing, let me try to use another graphic here. What these people put out is information on a tax. And now everybody's going to say, yes, information can be dangerous in the wrong hand. These people put out information which gets used by the clueless. And also what happens is, you know, this is all nice, well, and good. These are the people that at the top really have to worry about. Not because they should bust them, but these are the people really screwing up other people doing investigations, worrying about the criminals. And now let's talk about how the criminals fit in. Generally, I draw a little ellipse there to indicate that the criminals have their own resources. Some of the resources they use are this hacker elite. They go ahead and pay some people and things like that, and they pay them to essentially come up with new attack scripts. They then go ahead, maybe pay people to come up with other things and all that. Many criminal gangs also have their own core set of geniuses, as I would call them. They come up with their own attack exploits. The drug cartels do this, the mafias do this, and a whole bunch of other people. This has been fairly well documented. And what these people do is they basically take the information and try to use the information for criminal purposes. Sometimes what they do is the geniuses also put information back into the public sector. The reason is that if you have somebody using a very sophisticated attack script, and somebody notices the sophisticated attack because they're going after something like a bank, just let's say, that has a lot of auditing that might be sniffing and might be able to pick this up, if they see something very advanced, they know somebody very advanced is coming after them. But if any clueless person in the world can use that same attack, and has seen those attacks 50 times a day, that helps to cover their tracks. So they're sometimes very good at doing this. And now, let's draw the other one. This is a little pull right of the side in foreign intelligence agencies. The foreign intelligence agencies, especially like the governments of France, governments of Israel, Germany to a little extent and stuff like that, they're very much into computer hacking for economic espionage purposes, also general espionage purposes. What these people do is they're out there, and again, especially the Israeli government has their hands on the elite of some, again, the Israeli government does a lot of ethnic targeting, and they try to target some of the elite Jewish programmers, and really say, why don't you come do it for us, you know, it's a great Zionist thing to do and all that wonderful sort of stuff. We'll help you, provide you with resources and things like that. And yes, people have talked about some really good programmers going over and moving to Israel, and you could just assume what's that there for. Also, many of the foreign intelligence agencies develop their own tools, and again, especially the government of France. I don't know how many people ever heard of Gene Stafford. By the way, that's not one of the questions, you know, if you're clueless or not, but if you don't know who Gene Stafford is, you're clueless. Anyway, Gene Stafford reports that the French government, for example, again, does things like the organized criminals and puts information out there to the public. Again, a tax script that seems to be advanced and all that sort of stuff, and makes everybody think, oh gee, that must be, you know, either a real criminal. But then when all the real criminals are out there, and then the clueless are out there doing the same thing 50 times a day, it really helps fudge things. You know, the Pentagon gets, you know, everybody's trying to ping the Pentagon. You know, you have all these things, whether it's the criminals, whether it's foreign intelligence agencies, it's mostly the clueless hackers trying to be elite, getting into the Pentagon and say, oh wow, here's this login idea in the Pentagon. And I should say, I'll talk about this in a little bit, but what happens is, these organized crime gangs and the foreign intelligence agencies, they love to take advantage of the clueless. Again, remember, a monkey can hack a computer. So what happens? We have all our little clueless monkeys here going around talking about, hey, I'm elite, I hacked into this bank. And it's like, wow, no you didn't. There was somebody from an organized crime gang that I was tracking down, and I saw him on one of the elite bulletin boards, per se. And somebody says, you know, I'm really cool, give me wares. You know, if you ever hear somebody saying, give me wares, you know they're really cool with. Anyway, wow, seems to fit most of the audience here. So somebody saying, give me wares, and then this guy goes, I'd give you wares, but you're a lamer, you're a loser. Prove to me you're good. If you were good, you'd have anything at this, you'd have something at this bank. Then the guy goes, well, yeah, I have admin privileges there. And it's like, yeah, prove it. Well, here's the user ID, here's the password, give me wares. And anyway, he just turns out, the guy goes on, hold on a second, and we, you know, again, we're watching the guy through sniffers. The guy leaves the hacker bulletin board, this organized crime guy, goes out to the a gang goes out to the, you know, the bank. I'm trying not to say the name of the bank. It's really cool. But anyway, he goes back to the bank, uses the user ID and login, gets on, and says, okay, you're not a lamer. Here's this little tool. And he gives him, like, a really garbage tool. But anyway, the guy's all happy. You know, he has something that he could have got, but he didn't know he could have got that easily. So anyway, this is how I perceive the hacker community. Judging by the way people are laughing and nobody's, like, throwing things at me yet, most people seem to agree with this sort of stuff. So anyway, start thinking right now, are you one of these inner circle type people? Are you one of the, you know, kind of nearly circling guys? Or are you one of the 50,000 clueless? So again, start thinking about that. Oh. Okay, now let's talk about examples of crime. And again, the first one I want to talk about was the Russian Mafia one. This was the case, like I mentioned before, where we were checking into a large financial loss for a bank. And again, we had snippers on there. We tied some people to obvious Russian Mafia tactics and things like that. You know, the way they were going about things had, you know, former KGB type tactics screaming all over them. Anyway, what happened was, we see this guy getting, like I mentioned, he's on the bulletin boards and he's out there trying to get wares, get login IDs, and he's out there taunting the hackers. Again, you're a lamer, you're a loser, I'm not giving you shit. And it's like, okay, well, yeah, here, I have something at this bank, blah, 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 and then he goes ahead, he gets the user ID, checks it out, and it's good. And that happens quite frequently. I don't know how many of you clueless are out there trying to prove that you're not clueless, but anyway, you know, you pretty much have to prove to each other this information, and just remember, the person you're trying to prove it to just might not be somebody as clueless as you are. Next, the Israeli government, again, I did tell you before, that the Israeli government has a bunch of hackers that they kind of train. This is a well-known thing that they're doing. There's another Japanese, well, there's a Japanese immigration plan. I was talking to a few people about this yesterday. And what happened was, in the late 1980s, early 1990s, the government of Japan decided, hey, you know, we like to get U.S. secrets and all that stuff. Well, secrets actually from around the world. And the computers are starting to grow and all that sort of stuff, so let's get a whole bunch of hackers. Well, the best hackers were not in Japan, and Japan started saying, they started contacting some of the better hackers, and I spoke to two of them yesterday, and they said, we will pay you to come over to Japan, we will set you up to hack for us. And that was true. Then there were always hackers solicited. I spoke to one or two people over the course of last year who told me that they were contacted by anonymous email to try to say, hey, we kind of know you're like really good at this sort of stuff, so we'd like you to go ahead and get this information for us, and when you provide us with the information, we will provide you with money. And they ended up getting, you know, they do provide the people with the information they're looking for, and they get one of those 7-Eleven checks made out to cash. And that stuff goes on not as regularly as the media would like to think, but there are a core group of people that are making a living off this sort of stuff. Then there's the QSC and HCK bulletin board. This is actually a question mark to see how old you are, whether or not you're clueless or not is irrelevant. How many people heard of HCK or QSC? Oh, this is sad. But anyway, QSC and HCK used to be really good bulletin boards out there. They used to be. Then there's QSC is on a French computer. HCK is on a German computer. All I could tell you is that it was allegedly talked about that one of the hackers on the QSC bulletin board decided to hack the bulletin board, and he found out he was inside the computers of the DGSE, which is the French Foreign Intelligence Agency. So it turns out that, you know, the French were setting this up to try to gather information from the hackers. HCK, again, is rumored to be part of the German BND. I don't know what that stands for. Somebody probably does. But anyway, the BND has what they refer to as Project Rahab. Project Rahab is an effort to commit economic espionage through the use of computers. And it's been rumored that they've been able to compromise the SWIFT network, which is a worldwide network for financial transactions or financial transfers from one bank to another. And I don't want to go into what this means, but that's a fairly significant thing. Next slide, please. Now, let's go into the quiz as are you foolish or not? Next, it's a 10-point quiz, and we're going to see. We'll come up with a point scale after you're done, but keep a mental note or use one of those pens and paper that everybody should have anyway, because you're all here to learn and take notes, right? Next. Okay, we're trying to see which circle you fit in. Next. And this came out of the black hat discussions. Again, Hobbit, Mudge, and all those other people were kind of offended when all the professionals in the audience, I'll put that in quotes, were saying, hey, all the hackers are out there breaking into my systems and stuff like that. And people are like, those aren't hackers. Those are the clueless teenagers that don't know what hacking is about. And again, I did review these questions with Hobbit and Mudge and a few others, so if you're pissed off at me, go ahead, I don't care. Next. Okay. Have you ever written a 3GL program of more than 500 lines? How many people know what 3GL means? Okay, I'm happy about that. 3GL is third generation programming language. And what that is, C, Perl, just about anyone. C, Perl, Pascal, Basic is even a third generation language program. But anyway, next slide please. If you've written more than 500 lines, you get 1 point for a yes. Next. If you can't, and the reason for it, again, I have reasons why these are important. If you can't program a slightly complex program, then you really don't understand operating system source code. If you don't understand operating system source code or application code, then you really don't have the right to call yourself a hacker in the true form that people mean it. You want to understand. Yeah, I have an agreement back there. But anyway, you're supposed to want to understand how the operating system works. You don't want to hack a computer. You want to hack the software that comprises the computer. So anyway, next slide, please. And subtract a half point if you've never programmed. Next. Can you understand attack scripts line by line? In other words, when somebody gets, when somebody posts an attack script, like, here's the latest send mail attack, can you understand what's going on inside the program? Next. 1 point for yes. Next. And the reason for this is, if you don't bother looking at them before you run them, then you shouldn't even worry about the rest of the test. Thank you. And let me just say, the reason for this, a lot of people appreciate this, but the reason for this is that if you run a piece of software off a hacker bulletin board without checking it out, then you're definitely clueless. Next, please. Okay, can you port scripts to other platforms? In other words, everybody likes to write Linux, attack scripts based upon the Linux language. Can you take those and port them to SunOS or Solaris or HP or whatever? 1 point for a yes, and shows you understand the different operating systems. In other words, you're there to learn, and part of the learning is to be able to take and mold all this stuff. Next. Can you modify tools for optimization and bug fixes? Next. 1 point for yes. Next. And the reason for this is tools are varying in quality, and basically, if you're able to take them and change them and make them better, it shows you understanding, which is a good thing. Next. Oh, sorry, I didn't put this in. Have you at least tried to write your own attack scripts based off a CERT advisory, a SIAC advisory, a bug track list or something? In other words, before you bother getting the attack script, you bother trying to say, hey, this is how I think I would do this, and try to write your own. And again, it's 1 point for yes, 3 points, and subtract 3 points for a no, and the basic reason for this is, this shows that you want to apply what you're learning. Hacking into a computer, again, requires a clueless person. Trying to figure out how to hack it, again, I think that the truly elite people are the only ones that can really find a new vulnerability. But even the clueless people, if they're really interested in being the true hackers, should try to figure out how to exploit it. It shows they want to apply what they're learning, what takes genius and what doesn't. Next thing, please. Okay, have you installed Linux or other Unix on your own system? Just think of the learning experience. In other words, and even for this, I will say, even if you've installed Windows NT Server, let that count too. I'm trying to be generous here. But anyway, Windows NT, I'm not even going to, if you install VMS or MDS, you know, consider yourself in the circle already. Next, 1 point for a correct answer, and this is what it means to really get your hands on the internals. What, you should not be mucking around with somebody else's system if you're not willing to muck around with your own. Next, please. Can you find and install needed patches? In other words, you're writing your own version of Linux, hopefully, or else you'd be clueless anyway. And what you have to do is, next thing, 1 point for a yes, next. And pretty much, it's much harder to protect the system than it is to attack it. How many people appreciate that? And if you don't know where to find the security information as opposed to the hacking information, again, that's a reason that you're clueless. You don't want to find out how to protect systems and learn about them from the protection mode. You just want to attack them. Next. Have you networked multiple systems together? In other words, you take that Linux system and you put it on an Ethernet in your basement like the good people do. If you look at people like the Pope purpose, for example, of the law was to take computers and play with them so you don't have to commit criminal actions to go ahead and learn about computers. And you don't have to learn about network attacks. And this is a problem. So anyway, 1 point for yes. And again, applying what you learned. That's the reason for this. And nobody here can tell me if they can't get their hands on one computer, they can't get their hands on another $500 for a second garbage one that you can install Linux on anyway. Next one. And again, it's learning to protect the network. Next. Oh, a good business skill also. Networking can get you money. Next. Okay, now, I'm not sure how many people will appreciate this one. Let me just say, if you appreciate this one, you're probably not clueless. But anyway, if you've ever installed a network... Yeah, correctly. I don't know if anybody realizes, you could have a Cray computer talking to a Windows computer, talking to a BMS, and you'll never get the printers working right. Anyway, 1 point for a yes, and I don't even bother with the rest. Okay, next. Maintain a multi-platform network. Now we're not just talking about something like Linux. Well, anyway, 1 point for yes. Next. If you at least know what multi-platform means, you can add a half point. And I'm not going to tell you. Next. Have you ever stolen a telephone handset because you think it makes you a freak? Unfortunately, that seems to be a major problem around here, because last year at DEF CON, at the Monte Carlo Hotel, just about every house phone handset was missing. Clearly a sign of the clueless. And again, subtract 5 points. I should say subtract 5 points if you even thought about this one. Alignment set, that might even have a purpose. But anyway, go ahead, next. Have you ever intentionally damaged the computer system you have? Don't even bother adding up your score. Next. Okay, now total. If you scored 7 through 10, you're probably not clueless. If you scored 5 or 6, you're off to a decent start. If you scored 0 to 4, you're clueless. And if you scored negative scores, please leave. Anyway, how many people scored like 7 to 10? Yeah, right. Next, how many people scored 5 or 6? Some honest people, I can appreciate that. How about 0 to 4? Yay! Okay, at least you know where you are. Next. Okay, now pretty much the real hackers are offended by the stereotype hackers. Next. They give hackers a really bad name. These are the people the press likes to point to. These are the people that, I mean, no matter what you say, keeping Microsoft's website down so people can't get a fix is not a good thing. Next. They are the people that use the term clueless teenagers, not a hacker, and things like that. This isn't coming from me. I just thought it has, like, you know, validity coming from the people you should respect. Next. And again, hacking is about learning, not breaking into computers. Too many people seem to forget about that. Breaking into computers is worthless. It doesn't do anybody a bit of good. It makes you... No, I'm not going to go into that. Okay, now software testing. People don't understand this. Software testing is really what the real hackers do. They pretty much, I mean, they should call it their beta testing Microsoft MT for free. I don't know why they'd be doing that. But really, that's what they're doing. When you exploit the computer system, what you're really doing is finding holes in the operating system. You're finding buffer overflows. You're finding out how they had one software module screwed up talking to another one. You're finding out how they really implemented something totally clueless themselves. So even you could say a lot of people from Microsoft might fit into the clueless category. But anyway, this is pretty much how you learn about a system as well. Through software testing, you learn what individual applications do. You learn to understand it. And again, if you're there for learning, you learn by looking at stuff. You don't learn by hacking into, I don't know, again, by hacking log files or send mail for the 38th time. Again, that does no good. Next. Okay, now remember, computers are here not for your amusement. What did I say? Computers are not here for your own. Sorry, typo, I'm clueless here. Anyway, well, computer, okay, next thing. The only reason computers were ever invented was for business purposes. Computers are here to provide necessary functions, whether it's a video game, whether it's for communications, whether it's for speeding up redundant functions or whatever. That's what computers are here for. And this is where everything's going to go downhill from here. College helps you prepare for this. It helps you understand the business function. Next, quickly. I'm not going to take any comments on this. And again, the reason is, and I said, yeah, Wynn's not here, but let's just say we agreed to disagree on this. And the reason is, if you can't, well, one of the things is, college teaches you about business functions. It helps you understand, for example, those goddamn chemistry courses that I didn't see a purpose for. When I'm breaking into biotech companies now, I know what to look for. When I'm, you know, those stupid economics classes that I avoided with a passion, hey, those economics classes help me understand why schooling and the marketing plans are important. You know, then, oh yeah, and then the last bullet, if you can't write, you're totally worthless anyway. The thing was, if I can't put my thoughts down comprehensively and give it to a company and say, here are the problems I found and here are the fixes you should be implementing, whatever I did is a waste of their money. Because they have to be able to understand what I did in some form. They have to be able to translate the information that I take, give it to their technical people, their operations people, or whoever, and implement what I'm trying to think. And if you can't relate what you're thinking, then you're clueless, well, not clueless, but you're worthless. No matter how good you are, if you can't provide somebody with an ongoing benefit, and again, most of the ways to get people ongoing benefit is through written expression and communication. Next, please. Cool. Thank you. Oh, yeah, by my phone. Any questions?